So now we're reading from Mantra 3, and that's on page 29 in the Sri Shapanishad book. It's on your book stand, the small one there. Page 29. Asuryanamate loka antena tamasavritaha tamste pratyabhigachanti yeke chatma hano janaha. Asurya, meant for the asuras. Nama, famous by the name. Te, those. Loka, planets. Antena, by ignorance. Tamasa, by darkness. Avrita, covered. Tan, those planets. Te, they. Pretya, after death. Abhigacchanti, enter into. Ye, anyone. Ke, everyone. Cha, end. Atmahana, the killers of the soul. Jana, persons. Translation. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Purport. Human life is distinguished from the animal life due to its heavy responsibilities. Those who are cognizant of these responsibilities and who work in that spirit are called suras, godly persons. And those who are neglectful of these responsibilities or who have no information of them are called asuras, demons. Throughout the universe, there are only these two types of human being. In the Rig Veda, it is stated that the suras always aim at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and act accordingly. Their ways are as illuminated as the path of as the sun. Intelligent human beings must always remember that the soul obtains a human form after an evolution of many millions of years in the cycle of transmigration. The material world is sometimes compared to an ocean, and the human body is compared to a solid boat designed especially to cross this ocean. The Vedic scriptures and the acharyas, or saintly teachers, are compared to expert boatmen, and the facilities of the human body are compared to favorable breezes that help the boat ply smoothly to its desired destination. If, with all these facilities, a human being does not fully utilize his life for self-realization, he must be considered Atmaha, a killer of the soul. Sri Ishapanishad warns in clear terms that the killer of the soul is destined to enter into the darkest region of ignorance to suffer perpetually. There are swine, dogs, camels, asses, etc., whose economic necessities are just as important to them as ours are to us. But the economic problems of these animals are solved only after nasty and unpleasant conditions. The human being is given all facilities for a comfortable life by the laws of nature because the human form of life is more important and valuable than animal life. Why is man given a better life than that of the swine and other animals? Why is a highly placed government servant given better facilities than those of an ordinary clerk? The answer is that a highly placed officer has to discharge duties of a higher nature. Similarly, the duties human beings have to perform are higher than those of animals, who are always engaged in simply feeding their hungry stomachs. Yet the modern soul-killing civilization has only increased the problems of the hungry stomach. When we approach a polished animal in the form of a modern civilized man and ask him to take interest in self-realization, he will say that he simply wants to work to satisfy his stomach and that there is no need of self-realization for a hungry man. The laws of nature are so cruel, however, that despite his denunciation of the need for self-realization and his eagerness to work hard to fill his stomach, he is always threatened by unemployment. We are given this human form of life not to work hard like asses, swine, and dogs, but to attain the highest perfection of life. If we do not care for self-realization, the laws of nature force us to work very hard, even though we may not want to do so. Human beings in this age have been forced to work hard like the asses and the bullocks that pull carts. Some of the regions where the asuras are sent to work are revealed in this verse of Sri Shapanishad. If a man fails to discharge his duties as a human being, he is forced to transmigrate to the asurya planets and take birth in degraded species of life to work hard in ignorance and darkness. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:41-43, it is stated that a man who enters upon the path of self-realization but does not complete the process, despite having sincerely tried to realize his relationship with God, is given a chance to appear in a family of Shuchi or Srimat. The word Shuchi indicates a spiritually advanced Brahmin And Srimat indicates a Vaishya, or member of the mercantile community. So the person who fails to achieve self-realization is given... Ramaswamy. So the person who fails to achieve self-realization is given a better chance in his next life due to his sincere efforts in this life. If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, he can hardly imagine the status. Can you get Ramaswamy? I just want him to put up the microphone. I'm done with this thing. If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, one can hardly imagine... I guess you can hear me out there. Can we put up the other microphone? Yeah, just put up the wire. Thank you. Sorry. If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, one can hardly imagine the status of one who has achieved success. Can we listen to that one sentence one more time? If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, one can hardly imagine the status of one who has achieved success. By simply attempting to realize God, one is guaranteed birth in a wealthy or aristocratic family. But those who do not even make an attempt, who want to be covered by illusion, who are too materialistic and too attached to material enjoyment, must enter in the darkest regions of hell, as confirmed throughout the Vedic literature. Such materialistic asuras sometimes make a show of religion, but their ultimate aim is material prosperity. The Bhagavad Gita 16:17-18 rebukes such men by calling them Atma Sambhavita, meaning that they are considered great only on the strength of deception and are empowered by the votes of the ignorant and by their own material wealth. Such asuras, devoid of self-realization and knowledge of Ishavasya, the Lord's universal proprietorship, are certain to enter into the darkest regions. The conclusion is that as human beings, we are meant not simply for solving economic problems on a tottering platform, but for solving all the problems of material life into which we have been placed by the laws of nature. Now there must be some heavy reaction. Let's hear it. Nridaham adyam sulabam sadulabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayana kulina nabasvateritam. There's a verse by Krishna himself in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which he says, he compares the human body, Nrideham, Nri means human. Nrideham is very difficult to get. It's a rare form compared to how many ants there are probably in San Jose. There are more ants than there are human beings on the planet. Right? Confirmed. So it's a rare form. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and the human form is very rare. Nrideham adyam sulabam sudulabam. And it's to get it is a very wonderful thing, sudulabam. And then he says, plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram, that it's just like a... I'm afraid to touch anything. I need the bomb squad. Thank you. It's just like a boat. The human body is like a boat. Plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram. And he said then, on that boat, there's a captain. The captain is the guru who gives us proper instruction, who's living according to Shastra. Mayana kulina nabasvateritam means, Krishna says, then there are favorable breezes, and those favorable breezes are the Shastra. And he says, the words that I speak, like Bhagavad Gita, that one scripture alone, if you live by Bhagavad Gita, read Bhagavad Gita, then your life will be perfect. Favorable breezes to blow you across the ocean. Anyone has experience if they read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, just something like that, simple thing, then you get strong in devotional service because you're hearing Krishna's words. It's a favorable breeze. It'll actually make the boat go in the right direction. So, mayana kulina nabasvateritam. Then he says that anyone who has this full facility, this fantastic, wonderful boat to cross over the ocean, and doesn't take advantage of it, is Anatmaha, is a killer of the soul. And it's a horrible thing to see the human form being wasted like that. It's the most dangerous kind of fear Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Neha bikramanasho sti prativayo navidyate svalpam apya siddharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Mahato bhayat means the greatest kind of fear is getting this position of the human life and then wasting it and not actually coming to the perfectional stage. But devotional service is so powerful that even if one does a little bit of it and starts, then that's never lost. And even that little start can save one from the most dangerous type of fear, which is wasting the human form altogether and falling back down into the lower species of life, losing the opportunity. And we don't know for how long that will be. So these verses, Asriyanamate loka andhena tamasavrita, it's very strong language, but it's meant to wake up the soul, to remind me that actually this is a very serious opportunity that I have attained to be able to come out of the darkness of the material world. Tamasima jyotirgamai. The Vedas are saying, you know, as soon as you can, come out of this darkness and come to the light. And the human form of human form is specifically meant for that. I was on a walk today, and I walked by two workmen who were working on some electronic stuff for the city. And they were just conversing. I didn't even know exactly what they were saying. I could only pick up a fragment of it. But one of them was saying, this is already established. I mean, one of them was, I don't know, in the middle of the conversation. But I was just thinking how here they are. You know, they grew up as... Everything's good? Okay. They were born into the world. They grew as little children. They grew up and somehow they learned a language. I mean, it's an amazing thing to know a language, to be able to express meaning and nuance through different kinds of words. And I was thinking how it's easy to take it for granted, you know, that we have that power. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, Narada Muni says, that the perfection of all language is to recite the choice poetry, which is about Krishna. And all that is there, available, especially for the human tongue and for the human ear and for the eye. And all the senses are actually meant in the human form of life for one thing. That's to engage in Krishna's service. So to whatever degree that I can engage in service, then the senses will actually be satisfied. And that to the degree that I don't, then the senses will be edged. Could you grab me a first canto? To whatever degree I don't engage in the Lord's service, the senses in the Lord's service, then the mind, the senses, they'll all be agitated and unhappy. I can move around now without any... I'm traumatized, I think. Tatonyata kinshana yad vichakshita pratag drishas tat krita rupa namabhi nakari chit kwapi tajushita matir labheta vata hata naur ivaspadam. Whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. You want to hear the purport? Sri Vyasadeva is the editor of all descriptions of the Vedic literatures, and thus he has described transcendental realization in different ways, namely by fruit of activities, speculative knowledge, mystic power, and devotional service. Besides that, in his various Puranas, he has recommended the worship of so many demigods in different forms and names. The result is that people in general are puzzled how to fix their minds in the service of the Lord. They are always disturbed about finding the real path of self-realization. Srila Naradadeva is stressing this particular defect in the Vedic literatures compiled by Vyasadeva, and thus he is trying to emphasize describing everything in relation with the Supreme Lord and no one else. In fact, there is nothing existent except the Lord. The Lord is manifested in different expansions. He is the root of the complete tree. He is the stomach of the complete body. Pouring water on the root is the right process to water the tree, as much as feeding the stomach supplies energy to all parts of the body. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva should not have compiled any Puranas other than the Bhagavat Purana, because a slight deviation from that might create havoc for self-realization. If a slight deviation can create such havoc, then what to speak of a deliberate expansion of the ideas separate from the absolute truth, personality of Godhead? The most defective part of worshipping demigods is that it creates a definite conception of pantheism, ending disastrously in many religious sects detrimental to the progress of the principles of the Bhagavatam, which alone can give the accurate direction for self-realization in eternal relation with the personality of Godhead by devotional service in devotional love. The example of the boat disturbed by whirling wind is suitable in this respect. The diverted mind of the pantheist can never reach the perfection of self-realization due to the disturbed condition of the selection of object. Go ahead, Satya. You got that verse, right? Oh, I thought you had the verse that Krishna was the root. Okay. Then, trying to remember. Fourth canto. Yata. It starts with yata. Okay, and the other verse I had referred to earlier is that learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. Tripyanti Tatskanda is the second line. Pujo Pashaka Prahana Hach Chupjanti Tatskanda Pujo Pashaka. Yes.
431. Just remember that number and remember the word.
Well, that's all it takes. So what page is it?
219.
Okay. Yata toror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka prano paharachcha yatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyuteja. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. Okay, so now from the verse, Asurya Namate Loka, Andena Tamasavrita, that's the verse we read from the Shish Upanishad, that the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the world of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. What did you hear so far? What's stuck in your memory or your mind about that verse or the purport or any of the discussion so far? And we'll just hear from everybody. And you start.
What sticks in my mind was
the purport where Prabhupada is saying that a human being who who doesn't use his life for self-realization, then he'll, Prabhupada says, this verse is actually saying their destination is that they go to the lower planets where there's no opportunity for self-realization and people have to work really hard. And I was thinking in my mind, wait a minute here, you know. That's hard to imagine. That seems awfully kind of unfair or strict. But then I was thinking, well, even on this planet, there are situations where if you're born into that situation, you can be born, there are societies where everyone's an atheist and everyone's just working hard. And you may grow up in such an environment like that where everyone around you is reflecting that kind of reality. And you'll grow up, most likely, becoming just like one of the people, you know, in that environment and never have that opportunity. So it's not far-fetched to think that there are planets in this material world that are just like areas on this one planet. Some planets are very heavenly, some planets are very pious. I mean, and some places on this earth, if you take birth practically, you're going to be a devotee of God, like in India, in certain areas. Maybe not all, but in certain societies, you may grow up in a family like that. Of course, you may grow up in a family like that and turn against it as well. So, but at least you've had the opportunity. But you may grow up and you may take birth in a place where that opportunity never appears. And if you don't have that from your past life, then chances are you'll just continue to follow the body mind that you get that is just an extension of the body mind you had before.
Arigato.
On that depressing note.
Okay. Your turn.
Hare Krishna. And, well, I sort of, you know, agree with him and do not agree with him in many, many ways. Because I think that probably, you know, just the way like you go from like first grade to second grade to third grade, and so, you know, your learning moves, and that does have relation to the environment to a large extent, but everybody's, like, if you have to have relation with Krishna, then he will find a way to fix that. Versus, you know, you could be born in anywhere and that type, I guess. So even if you're in India, like, I would say I was born in, like, you know, sort of a called Vaishnav family. And, you know, they're, like, pure devotees and everything. But at some point I was like, oh, well, I don't know about this. I mean, is this true or is this not? And at times I would be like, you know, I don't want to come back at home. I'm playing. I don't want to come back for Arati in the evening. And you guys make me wake up at 4 o'clock for Arati. And what does that even mean? And that type of thing. And then, but I guess, you know, I came back. Whereas my sister, she still doesn't really totally believe in it. So I guess, you know, we're like in the same house. And she's kind of a devotee herself, but doesn't really think that that's like the primary thing. She thinks like she's here to like enjoy and whatever. Anyways, and then going to the lecture, I guess. Well, I guess, you know, this really important point that came today was that even if you are like doing stuff like, okay, I'm hanging out with the devotees, like I'm going on shopping with Raja, but like the primary intention is that the ecstasy or the happiness is Krishna, that, you know, we are connected through him versus that, you know, we're doing it for our own pleasure. So everything that we do, if I think that it's, you know, it's for God, then it adds like immense pleasure to that and also keeps you from sort of going astray, I guess, when you attach everything to him. Then you have this accountability that, oh, well, he's not going to like if I do this. So that type of thing.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So the points I liked are, Prabhupada wrote that this human body is a very special body. It has special senses, so it's just like a higher officer has higher benefits or privileges like that. We are in human body. We also have some better privileges, and it is up to us to use it or abuse it. So that is a very important point. The other things I was wondering was, again, something I'm always wondering nowadays is, how are all these different verses connected to each other in this Upanishad? They somehow appear to be disjoint verses. So all of a sudden, why did Vedvyas write it as killer of the soul? And in the previous verse, he didn't say anything about anything to do with that. So, but he did say something about, we should not take from others' quota. We should take only what is our quota and not take from other people's quota. And the general tendency of we human beings, generally speaking, and this mine too, mine especially, is to steal from other people's quota. We take more than what we deserve, what is meant for our quota. So that is where Prabhupada is saying that we should behave as human beings, not like animals, and not steal from other people's quota. The question I have is, in Prabhupada's purport, he mentioned, I don't know how much importance should be paid for that, but he said, throughout the universe, there are only two kinds of human beings. So this word, throughout the universe, is there only one universe or a lot of universes in this universe? I mean, in this space. So I guess it should be throughout the universes or throughout the universe.
Yeah, there are many universes, but just in this context.
Okay.
But you can, like in a pot of rice, you can take one grain and you can tell how the other grains are too, right, how it's been cooked.
Yeah, but I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah.
Okay.
That was it.
Thank you very much. Just in as far as the continuation of the connection of the thoughts, the previous verse was Kurvani viha karmani jidivishekshatam sama evam twai nanyate tostina karma lipitenare, which talks about how if you don't follow this spirit of seeing that everything belongs to God and that you only take your quota, well, if you do, actually, the next verse, that verse is positive. And it says, if you follow that way and you go on like that, then you won't be affected by the law of karma. That's when we took up that discussion of karma, akarma, vikarma. And so it's positive. And then the next one, asurya namate loka, comes on the negative side, which means that if you disregard this way of life, that is the ishavasha way of life, seeing that things are controlled and owned by the Lord, then you enter into this vikarma. So it's giving positive than the negative. So there is a flow, actually.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what is that.
I know you are. It's nice. It's very nice. Krishna Prana?
When you asked the question, what would we remember of this lecture that we talked about tonight, the only thing that really came to my mind was how precious it is, this opportunity that we have.
That's worth the price of admission. Just remembering that one thing. Thank you.
I have not attended the lecture.
You just got here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was looking at the verse which said that if a person does not complete the process of self-realization but still is on the path of it, then he's given a chance to appear in a family which is a rich family or a very pious family. Mm. And that kind of changes our outlook as we look at our people who are around us. I mean, earlier I used to be very jealous of somebody if he had more money than me, than I had, and now I look at them as one, you know, they have done much more pious things in their previous life. So it makes you much more tolerant of others, and especially in the office, like, you know, if some people are flourishing more than you are, then when you look back and try to see the cause as to why they are there, then it makes it easier for you to relate to those people. So, you know.
What a nice point. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you very much.
What I remembered most was the verse where it said, even if someone fails in the process of trying to be self-realized, then, like Maharaj was saying there, then at least they get a good birth, like in a family of merchants or like in a devotional family. So what to speak of someone who's completed, you know, who's actually successful. And then there was, it just reminded me, there's this verse, the verse from the Bhagavatam where Narad says, if someone gives up all material prospects and takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is no loss or degradation in any way. On the other hand, a non-devotee may fully engage in his occupational duties and yet not gain anything. So it's like, there's nothing really to lose, but there's like everything to gain. So that was the bit.
Yeah, coming to this point means faith, actually. Faith is described, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kohi Suridanish Joy Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. I developed the feeling that the only thing that I need to do is Krishna Bhakti. And if I do that, then everything else is completed. As Krishna says at the end of the 8th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, that all kinds of charity, all kinds of karma work, any kind of sacrifice, it's all completed if one performs devotional service. So if in the course of my faith increasing, developing this feeling that there's nothing more important, and then ultimately there's nothing else that needs to be done ultimately than devotional service, this is the thickening of faith and the perfection of life, actually, to understand that fact. Otherwise, in the bodily conception of life, there are many, many demands and ideas for how to become happy. Bahu shakha hyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Avyavasayinam means one's intelligence is not fixed. So Krishna says that bahu shakha, that one's intelligence becomes many-branched when one's attracted to the body and sense gratification, and the intelligence isn't fixed. But when one understands that by worshipping Krishna, yata toror mula nishechanena triganti tatskanda bucha bujo prashaka, which is this verse that says if you water the root of the tree, then automatically the leaves, twigs, and branches are satisfied. This is the understanding that I just by doing devotional service, I'll be completely whole, complete. And even if I'm not successful, completely successful, as Narada Muni says, Tyakvatas Sadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer Bhajana Pakvo Ta Patet Tadoyati. This verse actually says that if someone is apakva and he gives up everything to take to devotional service, apakva means not ripe. He didn't do it in the right mind. He gave up things prematurely. He dumped his job. He quit college, whatever it was, but he took to it. Tyaktva, he gave it up. Tyaktva siddharmam, his dharma was, he was supposed to act properly in his dharma to perform certain kinds of material occupations. Tyaktva siddharmam, charanam bhujam harer, and he gives it all up to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Bhajana pakvo ta patit tado yadi. Then, even if he was at some time, because he was unripe, he gives it up again and goes back, still he's not the loser. He doesn't lose any of the advancement that he made. On the other hand, he says, Chekva sadharmam charanam bujam harer bhajana pakvo ta patit tado yatra kwa babajama buddha mushikim. Narada asked the question, but what does somebody gain if they complete their dharma and they don't get devotional service? Did they actually get anything? If they acted perfectly in this life according to their material dharma, but they didn't get devotional service at all, then what did they gain? And the rhetorical answer is nothing. So devotional service is very precious. Even a moment's advancement, association, can lead one to the highest perfection. Hare Krishna.